Welcome to Eternity Now. I'm Senior Pastor and Evangelist Kyle Huckins. We're a U.S.-based church and evangelism movement reaching every color and culture for Christ. Our podcasts, videos, doctrine, history, and much more are on our website, www.eternitynow.com. eternitynow.com. This broadcast is made possible by your tax-deductible giving. A gift of $25 a month gets the gospel to 10,000 in a year. Just 3 cents a soul. Go to eternitynow.com and click Support Us for more. Thanks for listening. Now for one of my recent messages.
Well, this series, Practical Spiritual Warfare, helps us fight the unseen forces who show up in our lives in visible ways. Opposition, hate, division, rage, and lies. The idea behind this series is to teach us how to stay with God in an era when he is less popular than ever. Unfortunately, many once faithful to the Lord are no longer. Many in God's house have departed, and even yet, there are tares, or false believers, among the wheat, the true. But just as when the Lord opened a path in the Red Sea, when Moses and all Israel were about to be slaughtered by the Egyptian army, so God will fight for us now and make us able to stand in him. We'll find out how today in my message, Practical Spiritual Warfare, Stand in Truth, from Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14. In this series, we're going to discuss God's armor we're to put on when we're attacked. I want to caution us not to fall prey to what many young in the faith do with this important section of Scripture. Make a ritual of it. People recite the armor. I put on the helmet of salvation, God, the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that does no good. We must understand salvation and why it's a helmet to us. We need to know how God is our righteousness through Christ and so forth. We're in a time when slogans are big in the church. Hear, go, grow. Love God, love people. The message of the cross. Now, there is truth behind each of those as I conceptualize them, but the statements are like shorthand when we haven't heard the whole message. What does Brother Jimmy Swaggart mean by the message of the cross? Now, I'm a fan of Brother Swaggart, and I believe mostly when he talks of it, that he's saying Jesus dying on the cross means that we're forgiven all. We can't add to it, and we need to rest in that finished work. That's true, but the cross also means we're to die to self and live for the Lord. We're to crucify the sinful passions in our lives, and that we now have the Holy Spirit inside us so we can bring the gospel to the whole world. In that spirit, pun intended, I'm going to go slowly through this section of the Word in this series so that we understand truly what these pieces of armor represent and how we can use those realities in our battles with the enemy of our souls. Let's go to Ephesians 6, going to go to verses 10 to 13 so that we have the appropriate context for that last verse. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I went back to verses 10 to 12 because verse 13 begins with therefore, and as the old saw goes, we have to see what it's there for. The great apostle Paul, who probably faced as much or more spiritual warfare inside and outside the church as anyone in history except for Jesus himself, is telling us there is a real enemy, the devil, also known as Lucifer and Satan. And he has real forces, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, all the spiritual hosts of wickedness. As we discussed last message, a call to battle, these represent different levels in the hierarchy of demons. But the great apostle does not dwell on these evil ones because we do not fight them in our own power, but that of the Lord God. For example, from whom does this armor come? It's of God. The word armor here is panoplia, all the defensive and offensive weapons available. It's where we get our English term panoply, meaning a complete or impressive collection. This passage tells us to put on and take up the whole armor of God. These verbs in the original Koine Greek of the New Testament are not necessarily military in origin, so none of us will be able to claim conscientious objector status in spiritual warfare. It's much more profitable for us to know that we're in it than to try to be ignorant of it. In fact, this passage is emphasizing defense, not offense. It's saying this battle will come to us when we're in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8-9 warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Yes, our adversary is coming around to us, trying to scare us. He does have people and supernatural forces on his side, but God says all we must do is resist him. Say no. How? Being steadfast in the faith and refusing to give up or give in. For all believers have to go through this, our whole brotherhood in the world. And friends, we are brothers and sisters in Christ with people of all socioeconomic backgrounds, people of means and of no means at all, folks who are black, white, yellow, and if there's purple and if there's orange, we're brothers and sisters to them too, if they're Homo sapiens. We are all one in Jesus Christ. In fact, closer than natural family, the blood of Christ is stronger and thicker and is eternal where the blood of people is not. Remember James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6:13 tells us, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The Greek word there for withstand is a compound, opposite and stand. Taken together, it means to oppose fully, to strongly resist an opponent. This was frequently used in a military sense, as well as in other debate. Friend, one of the worst problems in Christianity is we think we're supposed to be like the world to win the world. We dress like the world. We talk like the world. We live like the world. And as a result, we fail spiritually like the world. But true life in Christ is nothing like the world. The world, for example, judges people it's never met by the color of their skin, then calls it tolerance and justice. It says it's advocating for freedom when it becomes violent at free speech. Champions people who are confused about their gender and have their lives focused on self. It's so obsessed with money, it talks about a person's inheritance well before the person dies. And the world cannot stand to live without the approval of others who are just as surely headed to hell. But those in true faith in Jesus, not everybody who calls themselves a Christian, but those who do have true faith in Jesus Christ treat every person as a unique, worthwhile creation of God. They realize that money and charms and trinkets of this life come and go. The champion God in Christ and people who focus on helping others, they risk rejection by others to do God's will. And also, they need only the Lord's approval, not that of fallen men and women. Yes, I've lost friends, family, jobs, and even more due to this calling, but I have not one regret for it. For I have decided to follow Jesus, and I will not be turning around. I'm going to be marching toward the cross. Sometimes I'm going to stumble. Sometimes I'm going to fall. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that he is going to lift me up and keep me going toward him all the way home, as long as I keep that mind to abiding in him. Including Ephesians 6:13, Paul says, having done all to stand. The sense in the original Koine Greek is once you've done everything you know to do, just keep standing in position. You don't have to dream up something new. You don't have to go invent something. You just got to stick with Jesus. Lord Jesus himself says, if you abide, if you remain and seek me, then, and I remain in and seek you, you will bear much fruit. Friend, we today tend toward fear of the future. What if this or that happens? Well, the Apostle Paul was left for dead after stoning. He endured beatings with glass-laced whips, several times. He treaded water in shipwrecks. He was often sent to trial due to false accusations. And ultimately, he was beheaded for his witness of Christ through no fault of his own. He had every reason to fear the future greatly. But he knew that come what may, God would give him the ability to be faithful and get him home to the Lord. He would give him peace, surpassing understanding, awaiting sentencing, strength to sing the Lord's praises while in stocks, boldness to witness in any circumstance to Jews, Gentiles, Romans, and Israelites. And he was faithful unto death. And so we can be as well. We go to Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's a short one more time. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So right here, right now, we can trust the Lord to give us that same power that he gave Paul. How does he do it? Well, through the truth. Truth here is the Greek aletheia, meaning for James Strong, not merely truth as spoken, but truth of idea, reality, sincerity, truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man, straightforwardness. The Lord Jesus Christ Almighty used that exact same Greek word, aletheia, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, 6, our Lord is truth. The world does not receive the truth. The born again believer does. The truth is there is a God. There's exactly one of him. Yahweh is his name. He is in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. His power is absolute. His love is pure. His grace is complete. His reign forever and ever. Amen. His judgment also is final. There is no appeal once he has pronounced you either sheep or goat to heaven or to hell. If you follow his son, Jesus Christ, then you will have eternal life. If you do not, you will have eternal death. It is very simple. Many folks, especially the cults, try to make this quite difficult, but that's the simple truth of the matter. Therefore, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we tell all those we know how to follow him too. In those days, both men and women wore long robes. To gird the waist was to roll up the robe and tuck it in the belt so you could move quickly. Paul says here, get ready to run with Jesus, for you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to him near and far to the ends of the earth. We're not running away. We're moving forward in Jesus Christ, telling and showing all who he is and knowing he will supply whatever we need whenever we need it. As Paul said in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I just get inspired all over again speaking that truth. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ said, what I speak is spirit and it is life. Praise God, and life more abundant and eternal. Let us be ready to remain true to him. For if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, there is no profit in it except to the devil. And we're only here for 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80. Do you know that the great King David wrote that 3,000 years ago, and it's still true today? The life expectancy of men and women worldwide is between 70 years and 80 years. And by the way, the last couple of years, it has fallen for the first time in modern history. My friend, 70 years, 80 years, both Job and James, they say that it's just a vapor. It's just a tiny amount of times. It was just like yesterday that I was graduating high school and college. It was just like a few hours ago that I first started preaching the gospel. Well, I was graduating in high school 36 years ago. I graduated college the first time 33 years ago. I preached the gospel first over 20 years ago. It seems like just a little time. But friends, 54 years, which is how long that I have lived, is nothing compared to eternity. We could go back to the age of the dinosaurs. That would still be like a drop in the ocean. We could go back to when God made the entire universe by his hands. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. Now, there was light. And it would still be just a small part of that ocean. Maybe a bay. Maybe a small sea. Friends, don't live for today. Live for forever. Live for eternity. Six takeaways today. Number one, reciting the pieces in the whole armor of God will not help us. What will is knowing and understanding what each represents and living in that reality. Reciting the pieces in the whole armor of God will not help us. What will is knowing and understanding what each represents and living in that reality. There is no such thing as a mantra that is helpful in Christianity, even the Lord's Prayer. If we don't speak it or anything else out of conviction and faith, it means nothing. Number two, we Christians will not win the world by mimicking the world, but by showing it Christ in spirit and in truth with our lives and our lips. We Christians will not win this world by mimicking the world, but by showing it Christ in spirit and in truth with our lives and lips. The world is already worldly. It doesn't need help to live like that. And it isn't seeking our approval to do so either. But if we show the world that Jesus is real, his power is extraordinary, his word is spirit and life, and his love is transforming, then we will win as many in the world as the Lord will grant us. Number three, every person is involved in a spiritual battle, and each of us must be watchful, ready, close to Jesus, and relying on him for victory in it. Every person is involved in a spiritual battle, and each of us must be watchful, ready, close to Jesus, and relying on him for victory in it. 1 Peter 5:8, that other great apostle Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." But friends, remember that he's walking about like a roaring lion. He's like one. He isn't necessarily one. Who is the lion? The Lion of Judah, Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, who overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he's coming back to rule and reign not many days from now, here on the earth, even more real than I am right now. Number four, we need not look for trouble in spiritual warfare. It will find us, and all we must do is withstand that enemy. We need not look for trouble in spiritual warfare. It will find us, and all we must do is withstand the enemy. James 4:7, the half-brother of our Lord said, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Oh, it's so wonderful. I'll tell you, sometimes I prayed. I remember the other day I was sick. The next morning I got up, I had no energy. But gosh, I had to do some things to be able to earn a few dollars. Strangely enough, this doesn't pay a whole lot. We'd barely keep afloat. But I was very tired even yet. And so I prayed, "God, I really need energy. I need to get some things done today. I need to get some work done." And do you know, unannounced, in a few minutes, I just began to get energy. I just began to feel like getting up. I just began to feel like getting to work. And do you know, I worked a full day, and it was a productive and good one. God will do little tiny miracles like that. And he'll also do real big ones like saving our soul, bringing Jesus back physically to rule and reign on a perfected earth for 1,000 years, and also bring people we never thought could be saved to the throne of grace. Number five, the world thinks there is no universal truth, but the truth is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. The world thinks there is no universal truth, but the truth is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. That I am is significant because Yahweh, the personal name of God, means I am that I am. I'm the self-existent one. I'm the one without beginning and without end. I am all-powerful. I am Lord God. And Jesus was saying, He is God. He also said He is the truth. There can be a lot of scholars trying to define this and that. They like to poo-poo the idea of the supernatural, but yet they won't give glory to God, saying that life came from space aliens. Honest to goodness, that happened in a debate between a creationist and a man with a PhD in science. And then the person who was a creationist simply said, well, where did the space aliens come from? And that doctor had no idea. Standing in Christ as truth will carry us throughout life, in death, and into our Lord's eternal presence. Trust Him today. And number six, we must be ready to run for Christ, counting on His Holy Spirit and trusting God for His grace and His strength every day. We must be ready to run for Christ, counting on His Holy Spirit, trusting God for His grace and His strength every day. Friend, we don't have to fear tomorrow. We've got a Savior who has already seen what is in tomorrow, and He is preparing our route to be able to deal with it. My friends, it is so wonderful when you begin to live without fear, without trepidation, without doubt. Your life becomes less trial and more terrific, more wonderful and blessed. Oh, yes, there are always going to be challenges, difficulties, and trouble. Just like I said, every single one of us is in a spiritual battle. But friend, we win in the end. We win many days. We're able to vanquish the devil at every turn if we'll just rely on Christ and run on to see what the end might be, as my black friends say. Now is the time to gird our waists with the truth. Not everyone we witness to of Christ will be saved, but some will. If we live in the knowledge that He who's begun a good work in us will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's our friend Paul again, Philippians 1:6. I want to remind you, by the way, just a moment, who Paul is, all right? The Apostle Paul was an extraordinary intellect. He knew that Bible frontwards, backwards, and in a way. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He believed the Bible. The Sadducees didn't. The Sadducees essentially were like cultural today. They might go to a temple once in a while, but they didn't believe the power of God. They didn't think there was a resurrection. They didn't think there were devils or angels. But Paul did, and his friend the Pharisees did as well. But Paul was legalistic. He thought he could keep the law. He thought he could make God let him into His kingdom. Grace was not part of the equation. But the Lord Jesus knocked him off his horse. Read about it in Acts 8, as he was heading out from Jerusalem on to Syria, to Damascus to be exact, to be able to take Christians captive, take them over to the temple in Jerusalem and see if they could be murdered because of their beliefs. But Jesus said, Saul, Saul, which was the given name of Paul. Paul was a nickname meaning short. Why are you persecuting me? And Paul was saved that very day. His eyes were struck with blindness, but when he repented, he received his sight. And now he is happy all the day, then and this very day in heaven with his beloved Lord Jesus. And Paul, like I was mentioning before, he withstood so much. He was lashed 39 times with those glass shards digging in each time. That happened several times to him. You could be killed once getting the 39 lashes. He was stoned, left for dead. That's when people throw huge stones at you. Sometimes they drop it from a height until you're dead. There were so many times he was falsely accused. He had to go before the officials, the magistrates. He ended his life going before Caesar Nero, we believe. And his head got cut off after it. I bet you he was relieved because it was all done. He had suffered so much for Jesus' sake. But you see, he was running the exact opposite way of Jesus. Jesus got a hold of him, and he ran probably better than anybody on earth except for Jesus did towards our Lord. My friend, I want to ask you, are you ready to run on with the Lord? If you're faltering, we're going to pray for your strength here in just a minute. We all have trials and troubles. We all have bad days, including me myself, my friends. But first, I want you to know, and I want you to understand, but if you don't run with Jesus, you run with the world. If you don't run with life, you run with death. And you go toward your own self-destruction. As Christ said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. You will go to heaven with him and to hell without him. It's not because I like pronouncing judgment on anybody. I'm simply saying what the Lord God's judgment is going to be. I wouldn't be a very good friend of yours if you were driving 90 miles an hour towards a cliff of 1,000-foot drop-off, and I just waved and said, oh, have a great trip. I don't want to disturb him or her. They're just having the time of their lives, so I won't tell them about that bridge that's out of that 1,000-foot drop. That would really be having contempt for you, wouldn't it? But you see, that's what happens when people won't tell folks who don't know the Lord that they need to be saved. We are charged with proclaiming the truth in love, and I do that today. There are four essentials to salvation. One is to repent of sin, to turn from it. Ask God's forgiveness. He will surely give it to you because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Every single one of us, me included, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Confess faith in Jesus Christ. He was the only person who lived perfectly upon this guilty sod, this old world's surface. We killed him for it as brutally as we could, but he came back to life because the Lord God is Lord of all. Believe that Jesus Christ rose in body and in spirit that third day from the tomb. It's not just spirit. Friends, we're going to have physical bodies forever. Did you know that? Those of us who are resurrected to be with Jesus in heaven forever, we're going to have bodies that will never decay, never have that heat, never have the time of strokes and all the rest of it, never going to grow old, never be diseased again. But those who are resurrected to damnation, they live forever in a physical body too in hell. But they're only tormented. They only see destruction. They only see disease. They only see hardship. God wants to make it a clear and an easy choice, my friend. Heaven or hell, God or devil. Also, follow Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend, like I just said, none of us scores 100 on that except Jesus Christ. But God forgives the sin of every single person who comes to him. He will forgive us once we come to him, and also if we repent after we've been saved since we've gotten into sin. And I hate to tell you this, but just because you're saved doesn't mean that you can't make mistakes, wrong choices, and yes, have sin. But it's a relationship with God. Christ will never give up on you. People sometimes give up on Jesus, but he never gives up on you. It's like a marriage. And in fact, in the scriptures, Brother Paul talks about how we are wedded as the church to Jesus Christ. We're his bride, whether we're male or female. And so he is willing to work out whatever trouble. Maybe we fool around on him. He forgives us. Maybe we're selfish. He forgives us that. As long as we keep coming to him and asking him for help and genuinely trying to work things out and to walk toward him in his ways, we're sinning out of weakness. But he's not going to forgive us if we've been too prideful to come to him and be saved. We've said we're our own God, and actually what that is the devil. We're not our own God. The devil is our Lord then. My friend, let's have a prayer now. If you want to be saved and you believe what I'm saying, Repeat this. This will be a repentance for you and the beginning of that new life in Christ. And you just keep walking out. Those steps of discipleship we'll talk about right after this briefly, and you will walk right into heaven one day. Also, if you've been away from the Lord for a long time, but you want to get back with Him, pray it as a prayer of rededication to the Lord our God. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. I confess faith in Jesus Christ. I believe He rose the third day in that tomb, in body and spirit. I will follow Him as Lord and Savior, repenting should I fall. Come into my heart, Lord God, and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen means so be it in Aramaic. So be it, and it is. We ask, and God answers. He's not too busy to hear our cry. Now, once we're saved, we need to be baptized in water. Just be baptized on the right side of the cross. It's a profession of our faith is what it is, that Christ has forgiven our sins. It's not the water that has power, but the obedience in relationship to Jesus that does. Then we start reading the Bible. How do we know who God is? How do we know what's right and true and good and what's bad and evil and a lie? Well, it's in the pages of the Scripture. So read that Bible. There are 7,500 promises waiting for you right there, nearly one for every hour in a year. I said that right, hour in a year. 7,500. A godly Canadian man counted some years ago. Pray. I pray a lot. I pray on my knees. I pray standing up. I pray sitting down. I pray short. I pray long. I pray medium. I pray for almost everything, my friends, because I depend on God. That's how we get through life the best. Pray. Pray alone. Call me up. Text me, 806-463-8793. Again, 1-806-463-8793 if you need a prayer partner. Get your next door neighbor. Get your mother. Get your son. Pray with somebody. That'll be magnified in agreement because the Lord loves unity. Be careful of people who cause division, who try to cast aspersions on God and His ministers and workers because they're doing the work of the enemy. Also, come to church. Come to us online. We're about to restart our Wednesday night Revelation Bible study on social media. And also, we come to you live every Saturday, 5 p.m., right where you're seeing this live. You can also see the replay just by clicking on that same link as the announcement. And you'll be able to watch it even if you were late a little bit or maybe something happened. Come to church. Why is that? You need to have Bible-based teaching and preaching. You need to have prayer. You can send in your prayer request to me, K Huckins, K-H-U-C-K-I-N-S, at eternitynow.com. Info at eternitynow.com will also do it, all right? Send those to me. We're about to pray for folks who have done just that. You need to have prayer. You need to have somebody who's watching out for your soul. You need to have that teaching. You need to have that preaching. You need to know you're not alone. Fellowship with other believers. I have coffee with folks every week to be able to encourage them in the Lord and love them in Christ. I'm going to give them a call at various times. I'm not just a preacher who calls on you when you're sick. I call on you when you're well. Hopefully that'll prevent you being sick sometimes. But fellowship with other believers. Friend, we are the true family of God. It's not natural family. Natural family is great. I've got a wonderful mother still alive and still witnessing to people. Isn't that wonderful? But if someone is not saved, they're not going to be in heaven with you. I tell you, your brother, if he's not saved, your literal blood, flesh and blood brother, isn't as close to you as I am if you and I are both saved and he's not. So we've got to get to know each other. And when we do that, we not only become friends in the Lord, true brothers and sisters, we also become a fighting force for the Lord God to claim others from the kingdom of darkness, to storm the gates of hell, like Jesus said we would in Matthew 16:18. And finally, we pursue personal relationship with Almighty God. Yes, you can know the Lord God, Jehovah, who made all things. He made you. He knitted together your soul specifically. He also started the process that you would be able to come about physically, right, with Adam and Eve. So he knows every single thing about you. And yet, and me, I'm going to put myself in that. And yet, he made us, knowing all the mistakes we'd make, and he said it was all worth it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely amazing? He gave his only begotten son, that is flesh and blood son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and also with the physical nature of Mary, and gave him to us so that we could be saved. We killed him so brutally. We lied about him all the time. We falsely accused him. We cast him down. Yet God did it, and then he raised him from the dead that nobody expected, even his disciples. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of love that you're walking into. I want to tell you that most of the world thinks that God hates us, that he's just sitting up there and kind of like Zeus in the old Greek pantheon of gods. He's just looking to be able to get a reason to throw down a lightning bolt and take us out. And if he causes us a lot of physical pain, oh, so much the better. That's exactly the opposite of God. He is so loving, he gives the members of his family to us to brutally use and to kill, and then resurrects them. My friend, remember that Eternity Now is an evangelism outreach and church that meets here in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. See our weekly message live Saturdays, 5 p.m. Mountain on Facebook.com/EternityNowMedia, Twitter's at Kyle Huckins, KYLEHUCKINS, YouTube.com/@EternityNow, our LinkedIn. Our group is 2 years old. In those first 2 years, we reached 1,047,514 for Christ. We want to do another 1 million these 12 months in our third year, but we're going to have your help to do it. Friend, if you just donate $25 a month over the course of the year, that allows us to reach 10,000 people with the gospel. That's 3 cents a soul. What an economy. God has given us some incredible efficiencies as far as getting the gospel to people in print as well as virtually. I've had a third of a century in professional media, he uses that. But even I realize that click-through rates of 6 and 7 and more % are supernatural in the kind of stuff that we're doing. So you can buy into that economy and also receive reward for being able to help us to head out and preach the gospel. Just go to eternitynow.com and click support us. You can see a video. It has some of the folks that have been saved through the ministry. You can see more about what we have done, are doing, and going to do. And you'll be able to select a way to give securely.
We at Eternity Now appreciate your listening to this program. For more, including links to all our broadcasts and social media, go to www.eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com. We have over 100 videos on YouTube, and you can watch our services live there as well as Facebook, Twitter, and more. On our website, you also can email me, Pastor Kyle Huckins, and I'll respond personally. I welcome your prayer requests, questions, and comments. Again, that's eternitynow.com. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace.